Okay, I'm going to call this second monthly meeting of the Port of Port Townsend for Wednesday, February the 28th to order. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Are you in there, Pete?
Yeah, I am here, Steve.
Great, thanks. So, I have the agenda here, and I don't think there's any, I don't have any additions. Does anyone else have any additions or corrections?
I'm good.
Okay, I move that we approve the agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Pete?
Aye.
Do you have the agenda? Are you, you've got an electronic copy, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So the agenda's approved. Now, public comments not related to the agenda. Does anyone have public comments, Ann?
Yes, I do, as usual. It's just a brief letter I'd like to read into.
Can you come up so that Pete can hear you? He's on the telephone, and I'm not sure he...
Just state your name, Ann.
My name is Ann Ricker from Quilcene. And here's a letter to the Commissioners Tucker, Putney, and Hemphill. Dear Commissioners, the Linger Longer Advisory Committee met on February 26th at the Quilcene Yacht Club. 18 community members and Commissioner Putney attended. We unanimously agreed to request immediate action by the Port on the following items, and we are aware that the Port won't be able to do it, but we're going to request it anyway. One, our community has heard from multiple sources rumors of a potential transfer of public Quilcene property to a private party. Let us remind you that we have more than 1,000 signatures of community members who are opposed to the sale of any Quilcene Port property. Would you please address these rumors and tell us your positions? We already know Bill's. He says, no way. Pete?
This is for public comments.
Yeah, okay. So. Anyway, we really do need to know, because it happens again and again. It's very upsetting.
Well, I've made my...
Yes.
Use clear repeatedly, so.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just the messenger, okay? Two, it is essential to hire someone as soon as possible to manage the fuel pump. The revenue from this service ranges in the tens of thousands annually. Penco boats currently gas up at Pleasant Harbor Marina or in cans from a land station. This employee would also manage and direct the shrimping boaters, campers, and would collect ramp, RV, and camping fees. If the existing pump or tank is outdated, replace it. This ridiculous situation is an insult to your best tenants and to the community. It has been stated that Quilcene is not profitable, even though the revenue generated from property taxes and leases from District 3 provide more than enough to cover the position and properly maintain the marina. So why not staff the one profitable winter service? I'm almost done. We are now a mere 60 days from the opening of the spot shrimp season, which brings hundreds of boats and people to Quilcene's marina. This is a primary community source of annual revenue. Three, dredging the entrance to the marina needs to be done immediately. It has silted up so badly that you can walk around the breakwater at low tide, meaning boats cannot get in or out. Shrimping is allowed from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., regardless of tides. The current condition of the mouth of the harbor is a severe safety concern that will only worsen with summer. We understand that the EIS has lapsed, but we cannot accept the port's total disregard of our marina's essential regular maintenance. The water for Four, renew the yacht club's lease. The port's failure to renew the lease is causing great concern in the community for a number of reasons. One of which is that Post has expressed an interest in that property. It makes us very nervous. The committee discussed several other issues, many of which will be addressed in a formal study by the consultant you will engage on March 14th. We expect to participate in the study in all its phases and look forward to continuing our partnership with you, the Port. Thank you for your attention on behalf of the LLC.
Thank you, Ann.
Thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm. Any other public comments not related to the agenda? Go ahead. state your name so Pete can...
My name is Alan Katz. I find the court's decision to evict longtime tenant Joel Kalahar very troubling. I think it shows incredible lack of judgment and honesty. Your questionable decision has had a negative impact on the whole community. The port doesn't have the revenue from the slip lease, the haul out, or the lay days. Your actions have caused a project to be canceled. Numerous people were put out of work. These effects continue to other businesses in the port and town. Lots of lost income. Your policies are not helping the port or Port Townsend. Something has to change. Maybe listen to the marine trades. They have been working here 20, 30, 40 years. They not only have a lot of experience, but vested interest in a successful port. We are responsible for millions of dollars being brought in and spent right here in our town.
Thank you. Any other comments? Melinda?
Melinda Brighton. I don't know because I was late if Ron expressed this, but I just wanted to say that the financial statement format that Abigail has put together, I just want to say thank you for a job really well done.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, so we'll go on to the consent agenda. Has everyone looked at the consent agenda? Bill?
Pete? I have.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah. Aye.
Consent agenda is approved. Okay, so we'll move to section 5, the second reading. We discussed this in the last meeting, the meeting procedures resolution. Essentially, it changes the meeting procedures. Oh, I'll just let... You want to take over?
No, you can...
Okay. Essentially, it changes the... meeting resolution back to what we had before, where we had two meetings a month. We had some difficulties trying to figure out how to do warrants, and we had some problems with special meetings, not being able to have agendas added and changed, and so we figured that it was working pretty well before. We also went back to one change that we made was to have a 5:30 meeting. As you can see now, it's 5:30 instead of 3:30, so that we can have people at work more easily attend our court meetings. And we're also changing the comment period. As you know, I've been excited about the meeting, the Robert's Rules book that I got. It's stated very clearly in there that you don't want to have discussions, public comments during agenda discussions. And we decided that we wanted to have, it's really better for us as commissioners if you're really intent on trying to inform us of what your thoughts are, to get these things in email or writing or written form so we have a chance to read them and study them and go back and look at them again to discern the meaning and have them in a timely enough fashion that we can figure it out in relation to what we're talking about rather than just a few minutes before. So the new resolution has a public comment period for 30 minutes, no comments during agenda items, and the second meeting is moved to 5:30. And I think that's about the extent of the changes. So since we're still operating under the old rules that has comments during agenda, do I have any comments on that? Bertram?
It's not Bertram Levy. Sorry, my computer printer said it was out of ink, so I wasn't. So I'm a little stumbling here, but the first thing is about sent messages. I've cared deeply about court, and I sent many messages, but only Mr. Kleinfelter and now Mr. Putney have responded to them. I have never gotten a response from either Commissioner Tucker or Hankey from things I've sent. I don't know if you've even read them.
Oh, you can't say you've never gotten a response from me, because you know you
I can document that.
Can I comment on that?
Hello?
So,
hey, Pete, let's let him finish, and then
please. All right.
So even just, if you want to respond to that, there is value.
Yeah, I would like, Bertram, I'd like to respond to that.
Okay.
And I'm really disappointed. That is flatly false. You know I have responded to your emails. In fact, I responded to your email today, and I actually did a lot of work on the email that you sent. So before you make gross exaggerations like Pete Hanke has never responded to an email, I would suggest you go back to your inbox and see how many emails I've responded to you with.
I can document that, but I appreciate and I hope in the future that you will respond.
And I can make a likewise claim. I can go back right. And copy out my outbox with
perfect.
The mails to you.
Perfect, so. Let's do that. Secondly, I think there is a value of public presentation. I think if I hadn't publicly presented the data, ports data on stormwater drainage, the mortgage tenants would still be held responsible for the stormwater violations have been, and so there is a value in public presentation in a meeting. Third thing is that I think that these are contentious times, and during contentious times such as lease and rates, there is more public comment, but many times there is no public comment. So the idea of putting in more restrictions on public comments is really it's unnecessary. It will return to a normal position once the leases and rates are resolved. So I think that's premature. Fourth thing is that I think that for the most part, rarely have ever seen any public comment change the opinion at the time of the meeting. But it does give the commission the opportunity to hear the effects of decisions on the stakeholders, and I think that that's important. And finally, as far as final comment period, I think that there are a lot of constituents that are shy, and it's intimidating to get up here and talk. And so it's only at the end of the meeting when they've built up enough courage to say something. It's the final comment period is not is not used a lot, but I think it has a value. And once again, it gives the commissioners some time to hear a reflective period from the stakeholders.
Okay, are there any other public comments related to this agenda item?
I guess I'd like to take a look at these revisions to the resolution. We're expanding the comment period at the beginning. My concern really is that heretofore the agenda required that you not speak on things that were part of the agenda. Public comments not related to the agenda. So what we're doing in this is we're opening up that initial comment period to any item, whether it's on the agenda, not on the agenda, but it gives the court commission an opportunity to hear the public comments, reflect on that prior to the agenda items coming up. And at that time, you know, it may be something that a public comment may be of such weight that the agenda item could be tabled until further information is researched. So I think moving it, changing that so that the public comments can come first and give the port commission and staff an opportunity to look at the agenda and adjust things a little bit. I think that's a positive thing. The public comment at the end really is too late to change any of the business. And what we're trying to get the Port Commission meetings to be is really a business meeting. And I always encourage people to call, email, whatever, set up a meeting to discuss things. If there's something about the way that commission meeting went that you don't care for, please contact a commissioner, contact staff, and let us know. I mean, we really want to hear the public comments, but we're trying to kind of hone this policy, put it more in line with what other county agencies use. And this is this kind of gets us more in line with what the port with what the county commissioners do. So I hope you'll be patient and give it a try. Thank you.
So Pete, do you have any comments on the agenda item?
I think it's great, Steve. I think I was pushing for the single meeting per month, but I think going back to two is fine. I was thinking about Ann's comments or written comments that she was reading from, and that's a great example of if you, the agenda gets put out at least by the Friday before the next following week. So there's lots of time to go online and see what we're going to be talking about in the actual business meeting, the commission business meeting. And if you want to comment on it, I'm kind of with Bill. I would really encourage people, send us an email or send your comments. If you do comments like what Ann did, read from, and get them to us prior to the meeting, it's much more effective for us to actually be able to read it and digest it before we get to the meeting rather than trying to get to us during the meeting. At any given commission meeting, we walk out the door with a ream of paper, and it's not going to be the next day. It might be the next week before we actually get all of that digested. So I think people would find their concerns more addressed if they got comments to us prior to a meeting. And that's the only thing I would say. Other than that, I'm all for what you're talking about.
Great. That's exactly my sentiments, too. What do you think, Bill?
I'm ready to call the questioner.
Okay. Go ahead. Make a motion.
I'd like to move that we adopt the procedures resolution as revised.
I second that.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor? Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed?
Are you for it or against it?
I'm for it.
Okay, so the ayes have it, the motion's passed. I'll say, going on to the next section, first reading, we have none, so on to section 567, regular business. Proposed policy calendar for 2018.
Yes. So this item of business is in response to some of the work that we've been doing this first quarter, and the commission identifying both the need and the desire to adopt a series of policies. So what I've put in front of you is a proposal from staff of a calendar, both of the list of topics for workshops and then where they might be considered for first reading. So do note that we have, and as I mentioned the last time, that we wanted to go back and look at our calendars, and given the staff workload for the second quarter of this year, most notably that we have the transition to the FSM software, and that's going to be taking up quite a bit of our operational time and attention, as well as then preparing for the bidding and award, and then the hiring of project management, et cetera, for the Jenny project. So second quarter is going to be very busy for staff. So what we're proposing is that then in the third quarter that we could take this up as per the calendar that we've put in front of you. Of course, I'm open, more than open to commissioner input into this. So put a draft in front of you and love to hear your ideas.
Bill,
I guess I'm okay. So I see this policy setting mechanism as something that is critical to the orderly operation of the port, and I don't see how without that, those policies being set, that the staff, short of coming back to the commission for on every decision, can operate effectively. Mm-hmm. I understand that there's a lot of work day to day to do, but I think that getting these policies established uh, and short order is going to, in the long term, lighten the staff's load. You'll have those guideposts to measure against, and putting it out to the second half of the year is, I don't care for, frankly. Mm-hmm.
So we had some, I don't see the calendar that we had for just the recent one. Probably don't want the exact paper, mm-hmm. but we had the policies coming up. I mean, in the workshops we were having back to back, we had one coming up, or one of our meetings. I can't remember.
The next two workshops is the first workshop in March is the 2018 capital program and some additional needs that we've identified in that, and then the second one in March is the 5-year capital plan.
Right. So those are the two things we've got coming up in March.
Right.
I kind of tend to agree with Bill, but I also understand your pressure, and so you know that since we've got some advisory groups working on some of these things, perhaps we could take their work result and do things like operating rates. And I know that operating budget, is that like the five-year budget on here?
So these would all be policies that would govern the production mm-hmm. Of these documents
yeah.
and really provide guidance to Ms. Berg is the CFO for the organization. And that is really one of the, and I want to kind of be realistic in the amount of work that we have in transitioning our main intake, our main point of sale software over to another system, and that we really need to have full attention of particularly frontline, but also the back of the house staff with Ms. Berg's accounting team, as well as simultaneously, we are in the final throes of preparing the bid packages and preparing a bond resolution. We have some very large big ticket items on. I would love to get these policies addressed as soon as possible as well. And I'm just reflecting back to you of the really extraordinary workload that we have on particularly your professional staff here in the coming few months. So not in any way, I want to be realistic about what we can deliver.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. From the discussion
I got a question.
Oh, go ahead, Pete.
Sam, how do you see, the two that bullet points that you have outlined here that I think are the jump at me are operating rates and business practices.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going through this study. We're in a pretty big crunch phase with the Kidder Matthews study to get that done. And, mm-hmm. And we've got this committee that's working with us. How I guess I'm confused as to what you're actually talking about when you're talking about policy. I mean, most of these bullet points are issues that Abigail already deals with, and so I'm assuming she operates under a policy already in terms of what she keeps for cash reserves, how she manages debt.
No, really, we're acting primarily on good best practices and custom and professional judgment, which is I think it, you know, I want to assure the commission that is sound, but we are lacking policy for these that really are very transparent to the public and very transparent to the commission. So we really don't have those.
Back to my question, particularly with business practices and operating rates, I think everyone feels there's an urgency to get that accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we move that to the end of July and satisfy that urgency that we need to get in there and get this done?
Let me talk about two things. So first, you are correct. We have entered into an agreement with Kidder Matthews to do the rent study for lease rates, and so do have an anticipated 6-week completion on that. So that will be a piece of analysis and data that would then lend to what is the process whereby we set the rates. We do have a leasing policy, a resolution in place that still guides the organization. I think that there is a desire on the part of the commission to update that, is how I would characterize it. So, you know, we could update that along with and then the data that we get from the study is, you know, we employ that data as part of using the policy. So we could update that policy. I don't think that would take up a whole lot of effort, and then be able to employ the data that we get in. The other ones, the revenues and the business practices, again, we really don't have a guiding document or policy that says this is really how we're going to make use of our assets, whether we are looking at break-even goals or if we're looking to have a surplus of revenue come in so that we can fund capital projects or other investments. We don't have some of those foundational pieces, and I think that is some of the discussion that we've been having in the last few months of really what is the policy of the port.
I think that part of why the staff is so busy is responding to a lot of public inquiry, much of which I would hope when the strategic direction is set will be a lot more transparent. And when the understanding about what the port is doing and how it operates, and that is not done on a haphazard case-by-case basis, that it's systematic, that some of that clamor for information on the part of the public just become necessary. I've said before that, you know, if it's your operation to manage, but if the if you need clerical assistance or some sort of leverage on for your senior staff, we should talk about that as a commission, because I think that we're at the end of a hard 2-year transition after the previous administration, and I think that just wrapping this up is going to make life a lot easier for everybody, and the sooner we do it, the less time we'll spend on answering questions that will be answered by these policies.
I kind of agree with Bill. I wonder if it would be possible to suggest assistance in some of the rollouts. It's going to take staff time, like hire somebody for the MF or the new software that would be able to do it and free up some staff time, and if this person was doing it, they might be an expert in that software and make things actually go easier. Get a software person down to assist.
Like a trainer or something.
We're already doing that. We're having training take place already. In fact, 4 days of it, I think. And so I appreciate the commission's willingness to look for solutions, and including the willingness to potentially expend some extra dollars for how we might advance this schedule. I would say putting them there for that part of the staff would not be their best use, because it really our current staff and Ms. Bird's back of the house staff and the frontline customer service really need to get this down and really need to transition it. Commissioner Hanke, what I'm hearing from the two of you is you would like to advance this schedule. I would say that if let me give us some thought and some problem solving and bring you back a revised schedule and see what. But I think that trying to apply some resources to this might be the best answer as opposed to applying resources to the FSM.
I mean there may be best practices that someone can distill for us and
right.
Well, actually, we had some of those examples from
Campbell and
something like that.
And that is definitely some of what we would be doing is bringing you some what I would call straw dogs that you can put out and look at. So let me think about how we can advance this schedule. I think again that resources would probably best be applied to this. I think keeping Ms. Burke's time kind of protected for this transition period. And then again, I really just want to emphasize that on top of this, she'll also be working with the bond council and then we are getting the final package, out the door, bidding, the awarding, all of that is for an organization of our size is really quite a workload on top of all of our other daily work.
Yeah, because the annual report takes quite a long time for one person to do. So, I mean, that happens every year. It's kind of like the budget. So,
I've got a question.
Go ahead, Pete.
FSM, is it more about a reservation system or is it more about accounting?
It's a billing and billing software and point of service. So it includes reservation, it includes billing, it includes RVs, properties, slips, yard launching, the whole kit and caboodle. So it's really a whole package. It does not replace our core accounting system, but it's a supplement to it, similar to TMP, the current total marina package that we have in place.
And then the second question is coming up on budget. We'll be talking about budget by end of July, first of August.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Seems to me that there's a bit of, as to what Bill and Steve have said, if we're just getting the first reading at the end of August on the policy, then we're really kind of a month away. It seems like we've got a month of overlap where we don't want to have overlap. We'd like to have the policies in place before we get into the budget discussion.
Okay, so I hear I will take direction from the commission to take another shot at this calendar and with some ideas on how we might apply resources to it to advance it.
Thank you.
Is that a fair summation?
Mm-hmm. That's a fair summation.
Okay.
Yep.
Make it so.
Okay, so now we're going on to item B, January 2018 financials. Ms. Bird?
Yes. Well, I just want to start off to say we have a nice strong start to the year. Overall, our revenues are, compared to the prior year, are up 12%. It's pretty strong to start to the year. I think it's indicative of what staff is doing out in the field, especially at the marinas and RVs. They're doing really well, and we're on budget with the expenditures. When we look in the details of the revenues, like I said, the marinas and RVs are very strong. They're ahead of budget by $24,000, and they're ahead of the prior year by $33,000. The yard revenues are doing well, and mostly that's the shipyard, as you can see just by looking at it. But they're kind of carrying the whole yard as far as being ahead of the prior year. Still a little short of budget, but I think that's with the work yard not doing as well. And I know there's focus on that with operations to really focus on the work yard. Property leases in use are less than the prior year, as same with budget. And a lot of that's to do with Point Hudson and the vacancies down there. And then fuel sales and leases are just below the prior year. Ramp revenues are just almost doubled from the prior year, which is pretty amazing. So they're ahead of the prior year and they're ahead of budget, which is pretty exciting. And utilities are just ahead of the prior year. When you look at the expenditures, they are more than last year. It's a little, sometimes when you look at expenditures, you know, month to month, it isn't as telling when you're comparing month to month, because there's timing differences and invoices will come in at different times. I actually had a call a major vendor recently and said, did you send us the January bill? So, I mean, it's more relevant to look at a quarter performance, but that said, when you look at the comparative on page 24 of the salaries and wages, for instance, there's a big difference, and that's because last year, this time, the second payroll for January was posted to February. And that was basically an accounting issue, because we were just getting used to making sure that everything was posted in the right period for the payroll. So taking that into account with the footnote A, the actual wages and salaries for last year were 167, so it's only about $10,000 less comparative to the current period, and just slightly over budget, which, interestingly enough, was mostly the commissioners, which I thought was interesting. Because there's been so many meetings.
Right.
I had to double check that because I'm like, wow. And I had not budgeted for that.
I just started taking the weekends off.
Yeah, right. So similarly, with payroll taxes, they were also affected by that difference in 2017, which is also, I didn't footnote that, but I noted it on page 23 in my narrative on the second checkmark bullet. And actually, the variance from the prior year was very small when you take in the actual amount. But we also had, in 2018, an FTE vacancy that we're trying to fill right now. And there are also pay increases and L&I increases this year. So that variance is pretty appropriate. I think in February, because of the January timing issue, February will be a little more clear. With not having to have all this explanation with the expenditure variance from year to year. Overall net operating income was $81,000, and that would have changed slightly too if you compare the prior year. Let me make note of that. So it was about $92,000 more in salaries and wages. So if you reduce that from the 181, it'd be about 90. So the variance is only about $10,000 again. So capital projects, there was very little done. Non-operating expenses, I wanted to make note that the commission was aware of the bond management insurance and miscellaneous expense line item, that we did not get the bond issuance cost in there. And that was a timing issue with getting the budget finalized, and then the bonding got pushed forward and it was too late to change the budget. So that'll come up later when we actually bond. And cash and investments. So ending cash for the month was $1.5 million. Reserves are about $882, and the unreserved cash is $683. I also wanted to bring attention to the reimbursement resolution that the commission did back in the fall regarding the bonding that will allows the commission to use proceeds from the bond to repay itself for the cash that we put out for the stormwater, because the stormwater costs to the port really lowered our cash reserves. Probably $500,000 to $600,000. So, but we do have that ability since they had that resolution completed. I noticed one, actually, Steve pointed out on page 24 under the notes, note A, the actual January 17 salaries and wages were 167, variance to 18 is 10,689. Says less, it should be more. So thank you for that correction there. So then looking at page 25, this is the debt service schedule for the year. The top one that's kind of purple, that's as our current debt stands right now. That's before we bond for the jetty. That just gives, you know, the timing of each payment for each of those bonds, and then the purpose below that. And then the second one on the same page is what was in the budget, and it's based on the estimate that we had gotten from the financial advisor on issuing that $3.2 million bond. You might notice that the November dollar amount under interest varies by about $122,000, and that's would be the interest only piece of the new bond based on that estimate. But that's not set in stone until you finalize what bonding option you're going to take. And that's going to be proposed, you know, presented to commission in a couple weeks. So then moving on to page 26, got the four-year trend in marine and RVs revenue. Again, it's real clear that, in fact, this is the best start we've had to a year in 4 years at the marine and RVs. Again, I think it's a testament to TJ and his staff, what they're doing. Don't be scared about the line going down in February. That's just because there's no activity yet, so.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Yeah, right. Then again, we look at the yard revenues on the next page, 27. Pretty average when you compare the 4 years. Not as high as 15, certainly. But otherwise, pretty average for the last 3 years. Certainly better than 17. So that's a good indicator, I think. It'll be interesting to see the February numbers when we get them. And then four-year trend on page 28 on property lease and use. Again, it's kind of pretty average. So nothing very exciting there. I did note down at the bottom here the spike in 2017 in September. That's the related use of the Port Point Hudson property for Wooden Boat Festival. And then the December decrease in 15, that was related to the bankruptcy we had at one of our yard tenants that hit us hard. And then in 16, how it went sharply up was the Coast Guard lease. And essentially, that was a timing issue because it was not finalized until the second month of the year in 17. And so we went back and we put 16 revenues in 16, but it all lumped together in December. So it was actually 3 months. And then the facilities and operations trend on page 29. Again, it's pretty average activity for January. That's about it. So in summary, I think it's a really good start to the year. I'm excited to see what happens in February, which is right around the corner. And I know the commission also wanted to see a cash flow, and that's what I'm hoping to do for the next report, is to put that together. I had to create these new reports and get them updated. So hopefully just doing one more report won't be as tough. Do you have any questions?
No, those are wonderful reports. Thank you.
Oh, good.
They're just what I was looking for. And also the news that the report shows is also good too.
Right. Well, and I appreciate the help that we've gotten from outside the port with some people on some recommendations. So that's really helped.
I just want to add and really commend Mr. England and his staff. And that includes not only the yard and moorage that have really put an emphasis on some direct marketing for the shipyard, but also the maintenance staff and really the working together as a team that I think we're really starting to see the fruits of our labor. And we had a staff meeting the other day, and you know, it really is the interdependence and the kind of breaking down of silos. We're really starting to see some great benefit from that. And I want to give a commendation to Larry and his team as well, because without them being out there and being able to be responsive to small incidents that happen with the hoist and things, they can just keep them in operation and keep them moving and getting us through these cold spells that we've had, which is always a challenge down on the docks. They've just done a fantastic job. But really to Terry Kyle and TJ Quant and Greg, they have done a great push. We're seeing the results in the large yard and marinas and RVs. Still don't have the results in the small yard that we want, but that's really good. We're turning our attention to that more and more. So hoping to see the fruits come there too.
So if I'm not mistaken, I saw the yard, the maintenance people put new cables on one of the lifts today, is that right?
Yes, they were placing, and they are readying it for its annual inspection as well. Did that happen?
It happened,
yes. And so. Good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
Abigail, so in expenses, I mean, I get why we're seeing this, but there's a number of line items in the middle there, starting with contract services, consulting, legal, and then utilities is a big one as well. So I get the difference between the year-to-date, but it's actual year-to-date and then the budget. Are we going to see... Is this going to be indicative of the, do we get this throughout the year where we get a lag on some of these items simply because of how the money comes in?
So yes and no. Some of it is just, you can't really predict when things are going to happen. Utilities, is a little different. Again, that kind of gets back to my comment before about looking at things month to month as opposed to it a quarter at a time. I know for budget purposes, we tried to smooth things out by going, you know, month to month, but then the invoices don't always come in like that. So, yeah, I didn't get down to that minutia per line item. But for instance, the facilities and operations, that's significantly lower because we anticipated more repair and maintenance for January that didn't occur. So, yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's it.
Okay. So thank you for that. So moving on to item C, Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife lease renewal. I looked on that thing and I couldn't tell where it was supposed to go.
Yeah, and you know, I think that it actually got cut off. I was looking at the exhibit. So it is actually back over the if you look at the Sea Marine and it didn't show up in color. It's basically that a storage area back, what direction would it be? The southwest corner of the, right in here is where it goes. Yeah. Sorry, Commissioner Hanke, that I'm pointing out something that you can't see, but you're probably more familiar with this area than anybody. And you know where the WDFW containers are now, would be to the south of that. It's basically where they're parking their boat and trailer in.
Oh, so it's where they've always been parking it. We're just charging it for it now, right?
Yes.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And so this was in the works before we changed the delegation of authority to the executive director. And so you'll see that has my signature on it, but the commission wanted to see these. And so what I'm asking for tonight is basically a ratification of this, that you're approving the lease. This awkward timing of it. It was already in the works. So I think a ratification of it for to approve my signature on it.
Under 7.1, maintenance repair in second paragraph, 7.1, landlord shall, as part of maintenance, provide de-icing and snow and debris removal service before normal business hours and at other times as practical. Do we have anybody checking on that? Do we have the capability to do that? Sounds like we're contractually obligated.
Yeah.
We're doing under that paragraph.
And that's more of a boilerplate language that applies to the building. And so we do that regularly for the building and the sidewalks there.
It doesn't apply. So is this an addendum to add this piece of property onto the existing lease?
Separate rental agreement, yes.
So then we're committing ourselves to go out and dig away the ice and snow?
Yeah, in front of their shed or whatever.
I can see that.
It's a little strange.
I don't believe that it obligates that us to that, and I think that the understanding is that this is really only for hard surfaces, for concrete sidewalks and porches and things. And since there isn't any there, you know, if we had a paved area back there, we might be obligating ourselves, but we don't.
You okay with that, Pete?
Yeah, I'm very good with that.
Okay, I can't look over and see you nod. So I move that we approve that lease as written.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Pete?
Aye.
Thanks.
Okay.
Opposed, nay, the motion is carried.
Okay,
so moving right along, we're ready for staff comments.
Staff comments is really just want to start if you have any questions about the status reports of the past couple weeks. We'll tell you that we have sent a letter of engagement to Kidder Matthews, and so we're underway with that, and have a phone conversation with them tomorrow, and we'll have better clarity on their schedule after that conversation tomorrow. But any other questions about status reports? And
I don't have any.
No.
Yeah.
Do you have any staff comments, Kimberly?
I was like, I have no questions about that. since Director Gibney didn't mention it, I will steal her thunder and just compliment her on her presentation today at the Main Street meeting this morning regarding the breakwater jetty replacement at Point Hudson. And Mari had passed on some stuff to Sam to get to me regarding some promotional opportunities. So just really exciting opportunity to potentially work with Main Street to see what we can offer, not only during the construction, but maybe an ongoing program after that. So.
Okay. Abigail, we've heard Alan, Carolyn, do you have anything?
Nothing, thank you.
Sue?
No.
Nothing? Okay, so this is the last time we'll have public comments at the end. Any public comments at the end? Somebody want to shoot something off?
Last chance.
Last chance.
Last chance.
Okay, Commissioner comments. Pete, how's the weather down there?
You know, it's cloudy and windy, so
it's like
the only difference is temperature, I think.
We are not feeling
I don't have any comments.
No comments? Okay.
Have another Mai Tai and just relax. I have just two. I was at the Northwest Aviation Conference this weekend, along with about 10 of my closest aviation buddies, and we had a nice booth, and we engaged a lot of the public and got a lot of interest in visiting the community. If we could only solve the issue of how to get them from the airport to town, that kind of seems to be one of the forever issues. I have gotten a couple of comments about I guess customer service, and I thinking about it, I wonder, do we have somebody that has in their title kind of concierge, or you know, how do we designate the person someone coming to our yard to have work done that has port issues? I mean, who should they take those up with? And I mean, I know ultimately it's you,
mm-hmm.
but it seems like there should be some first line, person that is more or less always available that can, you know, rush to the scene of the crime and smooth things out.
I think we have kind of a three-pronged approach to that, and that is, you know, Terry and TJ, and they really are overlapping in that. So taking on concerns for both mortgage and the yard. And then Kimberly also fulfills a role for people who are have an issue that they need to have resolved, or if they really want to get a reflection on the experience that they've had. She often steps into that role. So we don't have one kind of person designated for that. We certainly expect all of our customer service representatives to be problem solvers, and I think they do an effective job at that, you know, the vast majority of the time. So if you have suggestions, certainly are I'm all ears as to how we can improve that.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of, you know, one published phone number posted around the yard and moorage that says, you know, call this number, and maybe that's a cell phone that gets passed around so that somebody answers that phone, and so that the person that's already unhappy isn't trying. You know,
to get to the phone tree.
I just really think that we need to not that we're not doing a good job ultimately, but we really need to be on top of customer service, in a really prompt way. People expect it of us, and I think it would solve a lot of our problems if those things were addressed, you know.
Sure. Why don't we have a follow-up sure. conversation to this, and we can talk about other
yes.
ways that we can continue
Absolutely.
To improve that.
And my comment is only one. I got to go attend Pete's riveting PRPTO meeting, and I'm glad Pete goes to that on a regular basis. And so are we having an executive session tonight?
I don't believe
No?
Nope.
Okay. So the next public workshop and regular meeting will be... Oh, you know what we didn't do?
What didn't we do?
In the resolution for workshop, for our meeting schedule, we didn't have a regularly scheduled workshop.
They're to be called.
To be called. So we want to consider having, we used to have a regularly scheduled workshop at the first meeting of the month. Because I'm seeing here that our next meeting is a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
So do we schedule this as called, or are we going to start having them again?
So
traditionally on the first meeting of the month?
I think after, let me reserve my answer on that till after I look at the schedule that you want me to revisit.
Okay. So anyway, we're having a workshop next mm-hmm. time. So it'll be at 9:30, and then the meeting will be 1 o'clock on March 14th. And so this meeting is adjourned.
Great.
All right.
Wow, no executive.